This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to, but if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Today's episode is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. And we had the pleasure of speaking to someone involved with the movie.
My name is Robert Patrick. I play Gary Tyson. That's Gary Tyson with an I in the film Last Rampage. Evil broke loose in 1978, Arizona State Penitentiary. You know, that was interesting. What it was like playing a real person as opposed to a fictional character. It was really trying to wrap your head around how this guy could do some of the things that he could do. That was the things that you were drawn on. Of course, I there was no way you're going to try to do an impersonation of a guy, nor was I going to try to, you know, get as heavy as the guy. I didn't have enough time to really go that route. But I found him really, really interested in trying to live up to the charisma that he had. I fell in love with the folklore of the story, like the whole idea that he was a guy that was raised during the Great Depression. See, that from a historical point of view, those kind of stories resonate with me. That yearning for something better, trying to find it, have to steal to get it. How do you deal with that if you're a religious person? You know, how do you run underneath that? How do you justify it? He had a double life sentence that he began to push his wife and his kids to say, God, you know, I'm going to serve one term, and when I die, I'm going to serve another term in hell. I got to get out of this. And the link that he was willing to go to get his kids to help him get through this and get him out of prison was fascinating to me.
Don't miss Last Rampage, the true story of the prison break of Gary Tyson. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd. Find out more on Twitter by following @LastRampageFilm or on Facebook.com/LastRampageFilm.
Feral Audio.
Hey, welcome to the X-Files Files. Our guest today, for the first time ever on this show, Claudia O'Doherty.
Hello.
How are you, Claudia?
Hello. Thank you. What's the question?
There's no question. You say, hello, thank you, good. Those were the first three words.
Those are all true things.
Yeah. Hello is true. Yeah. Thank you and good.
I'm very, very grateful to be here and I feel good about it.
Yeah. So, Claudia, we're friends. We're comedians.
Yeah.
We met in Edinburgh when I did the festival.
Yes.
The Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Was that 2010?
2012.
I told Dustin, your sound recorders, that it was 2010.
He's a recordsman.
Lying, it was 2012.
Yeah. And you're from Australia, mm-hmm. but you lived there.
Yes.
Not in Edinburgh, but somewhere in the UK.
London.
London.
Yeah, but I moved here to LA like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're an X-Files fan from back in the day.
Yeah, but I think I might be like the worst kind of X-Files fan because I jumped aboard at the peak time.
That's okay. You were a child.
And then I jumped off.
But it burned bright when it did because yes. you have a story.
I was there when it was burning so, so bright.
Yeah.
So I started high school in 1996 and it was like I'd liked the Beatles before that. That was like the one thing I liked was the Beatles.
The Beatles?
The Beatles.
That's what you picked?
And then I went to high school and I was like, okay, new friends, gotta like new stuff. And I made this like one, I had lots of friends, but I had this one friend and the only thing we had in common was that we both liked the X-Files.
Uh-huh.
And I think I kind of just thought, well, if I'm going to be a cool teenager, I've got to like a new thing.
Sure. This is very sort of sociopathic and calculated.
Yeah. No, but I truly did love the X-Files.
Yes.
And also I felt very strongly about the relationship between Mulder and Scully.
You wanted them to...
Yeah. I was a shipper.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that term.
Right.
Until like towards the end when I started to think maybe this was weird.
You knew the term shipper while the show was on and you were watching it?
I think people were like using that word because like there was so much like media about the will they won't they stuff. Like there was that Rolling Stone cover. Do you remember
yes.
that?
Yes.
Of them, and like I found that like so thrilling.
It's great. It's a great day when you find that.
With yeah. them in naked in bed together.
It's yeah.
Very erotic.
Finally.
Very
yeah.
sexual. I mean, sexual.
We've missed the best part because it seems like they're post whatever they were
yes.
doing there.
I mean, ideally it would be mid.
Yes, coitus.
Coitus. It
yeah.
would be very graphic.
Ideally, just
photo.
A really graphic Rolling Stone cover. Mm. That's best.
Yeah.
This is a good close second.
Do you think she would have to be on top because she's so much... Well, she wouldn't have to, but I feel like
he would probably pitch something and she would be like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like,
and then at the end, she's like, all right, let's do
like,
it.
Just believe in this. Yeah. I have a good feeling this is going to be great.
Yeah.
yeah. And then, yeah. And so...
Was it big there? I assume it was huge.
It was so big in Australia, but it still wasn't like a cool thing to like. So I had like probably been watching it with my family and just enjoying great stories,
yeah.
great television. And then I started high school and I became friends with this girl and it was all we talked about. And I took down all my Beatles posters and I put up just X-Files posters.
Oh, so you were always like, it's going to be one thing. People yeah. like one thing.
Yeah, and I was like, my thing is the X-Files.
Yeah, human beings aren't complicated. They're all defined by one thing, the one thing they like.
Exactly. And it was like, it felt like a lot of people felt that way in Australia because Gillian Anderson came to Australia and she did public appearances in shopping centers.
Really?
Yes. And there were, and the shopping center was overwhelmed. The one that I went to.
So you went to this?
I went to one. I made yes. my mom drive us to the Sutherland Shire.
You and your friend that are both defined by your love of the X-Files.
Yes. And I think my little sister came too, who like was a casual fan.
So you guys drove to this shopping
she
mall?
She would have been about 10 years old. And it was an hour's drive. And it was, you know, it was like, I think we went at like 10 in the morning, but we knew that that was nowhere near early enough because
no.
you had to get there at like 5 in the morning if you wanted to get the special ticket to go onto the stage to meet Agent Scully.
Yeah, you get to talk to her.
And we were like, should we? We asked my mom and she was just like, of course, no.
5 a.m. is a bad idea.
It's not going to happen. But she did drive us an hour and then she stood with us in the throng of, I think it was 10,000 people. Okay, it showed up.
10,000
yeah.
people.
So it was in what, you know, like one of those central atriums of a shopping center where all the escalators go down.
Yes.
And she was down in the center and then every tier of the shopping center was full of fans.
Oh, just they just wanted to look at her.
Everyone wanted to just, it was like, but it was like she was the Beatles.
It was, oh my God.
Yeah. yeah. It was my own Beatlemania, except it was for an actress named Gillian Anderson who was probably quite baffled by what was going on.
But that's, you just picked phenomenons. That was what you loved.
Yeah, but it felt like
Beatles, X-Files,
But liking the Beatles in the 90s felt not like cool. A very uncool, very alternative choice.
Yes.
Like I would talk to other kids. I'd be like, have you heard of the Beatles? And they would say no.
Yeah.
So I felt like a real rebel.
Yeah.
But then with the X-Files, it was like, wow, it was a really true and interesting experience to like something that other people did like at that moment.
At that time. Yeah.
But then suddenly, I don't know if it was because I got sick of the... I don't think I got sick of the show, but I did just stop watching the show.
Well, it does... Does it? After a certain... Like once Duchovny leaves and stuff, it gets harder. You're there for those guys. And then when they leave, you know, it's harder to sort of stay interested.
Yeah. So I didn't... Like I don't know how the series
ended. Don't be
ended.
Too hard on yourself. You abandoned the Beatles. You abandoned the X-Files. This is a pattern.
I gave the Beatles like, I think from 7 to 12.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
5 years?
I gave the X-Files like 6 months.
That's decent.
But they were such heady 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, my body was flooded with hormones.
And confusion.
A lot of new things are happening in my body. And so I was very attracted to David Duchovny. And I would rent out every movie he was in. But he was in like kind of inappropriate stuff.
Yes. He was on a show called Red Shoe Diaries, which was a Cinemax or Showtime, one of those, but it was like a sex show.
Yeah, I tried to rent that from the video store, but it was like, it was in the adult section.
Yes.
So like that didn't really work. But there was another movie, there was like an independent movie he did where he was just like on the phone to a girl all day. I can't remember what it was called.
The movie just there on the phone all day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but they have phone sex in the movie, which was also like pretty shocking to me.
And you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great...
It's not a good movie at all. It's just like a mediocre independent film about two people on the phone all day.
Right.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's changes happening, certain parts of it. You liked.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I felt uneasy.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. I don't know if... I mean, I really also was such a fan of Gillian Anderson, but I don't know if there was early stuff of hers to delve into.
No, this was her first real thing. The first time she'd really been on camera. And she lied. She lied and said she was three years older than she actually was.
How old was she when she was hired?
I think she was like maybe 22 or 24 at the most. And she lied and she said she was 25 or 27.
But that just proves how much like a blousy double-breasted suit will age a person.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't really look 20. I guess she also had quite a sort of serious haircut.
She had a very, very intense... In the beginning, she had like billowy clothes.
Yes, because she was often pregnant,
boxy suits. But even before that, before the pregnancy, boxy suits, big, not flattering, very hard hair. It looked like action figure hair.
Yeah,
like
very
if you
hard.
Moved one part of it, the whole thing would sort of move, like Lego hair kind
Absolutely,
of.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. But she was still, she was
beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful, yes, of course.
And what was interesting rewatching episodes now was like things that I'd forgotten about was like how soothing her voice is.
Yes.
And also how like they both have a similar acting style where neither of them move their mouths very much.
What do you mean?
They both kind of
just kind of mumble?
They're kind of mumbling.
Okay.
I think it's maybe to balance out the ridiculousness of
they have to be so grounded.
So he'll be like, let me tell you about this African folktale.
Yeah.
I think it's probably this African folktale.
I'm assuming, I mean, I don't know anything. You're doing your science stuff. I talked to an old guy. He's been talking about this demon thing.
Exactly.
I think it's a teleco.
It's probably this. Yeah.
So you hadn't seen an episode in a while.
No.
Then you watched these two. You watched Teleco and Anruhe. Teleco...
Yes.
Is the one where someone from Africa comes over, starts killing black guys and sucking the pigment out of them.
Yeah, I thought it was boring and uncomfortable.
It's very tough. The idea of like, you know, from the darkest Africa comes a monstrous beast we know nothing about.
Exactly. The music as well, where it's like, just in case you're wondering which continent he's from.
Straight tribal shit.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Exactly.
Very percussive.
Yeah,
lots
very percussive.
Lots of hands on... like bongos and I mean he uses a fucking blow dart It's surprising that he doesn't have like a huge shield that he carries around with
also,
him.
Also, it felt very, it felt like it was a remix of one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, you're going to say Squeeze?
Squeeze.
Yeah, it really is because he can get into small spaces and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but it was like that, but not scary and like just like... But African.
But African, which is very problematic.
Yeah.
It's difficult. So with that premise comes... Mm-hmm. A lot of problems come with that premise. When you have a monster coming from Africa to kill black people here, there's a lot of problems with it. And I feel like they knew that because they sort of combated a little bit with Mulder talking about like black people get killed and nobody cares about them. And it's like trying to make some sort of social point about it. But you're right. It's uncomfortable. Because it can never really get past that. There's also the thing, like his name is Aboa.
Yes.
And then the idea of like, you know, like AIDS or like Ebola coming from...
It sounds a lot like Ebola.
Yeah, it does. Coming from like Africa and coming here and infecting us and that kind of shit. Like clearly, metaphorically, it's hard to escape that kind of stuff.
It's tricky stuff. And I wonder why they thought they should write an episode like this.
Why did they think they could get away with
it? But also, it wasn't even... but it wasn't even a scary one. Or, like, it wasn't an interesting enough, you know, mystery.
Yeah, because you know right from the beginning what's going on.
Yeah.
I thought the opening where he's on the plane, it's a cool way to show someone... that they need the pigment. It's a cool way to show because he's weird looking and gray.
Yes.
Kills the guy. Now that guy's gray and he's black.
But also I did, at first I thought he was like, so what is he? He's a demon? What is he? A monster?
I think he's from a tribe.
So he's just an African person.
He's an African person. he's not some sort of immortal demon or spirit.
But he's a teleco, right?
I think, yes, he is a teleco, but I think he's...
And they kind of saying, but a teleco, even though there are folk tales about telecos, it turns out a teleco is just a guy who has no pituitary gland.
I think what it is that the myth of the teleco is based on this tribe of people who were all like that. Uh-huh. And then most of them have died and some of them have survived.
And some of them are coming over here to kill our
guys. You know,
guys.
Where there are less black people coming over to America, why not just stay there? You have a very specific condition, sir.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where she's like, asks Mulder, like, why would he come here? And Mulder's like, oh, you know, usual stuff.
He did some sort of smug Mulder jokes.
Yeah, he did like smug Mulder jokes about it. It seems like for this guy... Over there. And then I was wondering, like, if it's like an Indian person, is that like a snack? Is that like sort of sates you? Like when you want a hamburger and you get a grilled chicken sandwich instead of you're like, this is good, the ballpark.
Yeah, no, they didn't unpack like the condition enough. So it was a bit like, I couldn't tell if maybe I wasn't really paying enough attention, but I was trying. But I promise you, this is like quite a boring one.
Well, it's also in this one and in the next one, they both have things where people use long,
poking
things to go into people's heads.
Yeah, and it was a bit like, oh, they've totally run out of ideas, and I don't feel bad for stopping watching at the end of season 3.
Well, there's some really good ones in season 4. Season 4 has really good ones. This one, Teleco, is, I think, it's not one of them, and then it has the worst exchange in X-Files history, I think, where they're like, oh, this black guy was killed, and they show her a picture, and it's a guy who's like death gray.
Yeah.
He's the color of no ethnicity, and she goes, I thought you said he was black.
It's ridiculous.
Did he look like a... It's ridiculous.
Well, he just looks so much like he's covered in paint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which he is. Yeah, it was not... I was really jazzed to watch the X-Files again, but it was...
I'm so sorry that I did this.
Wasn't a good episode at all.
I'm sorry.
But I do want to know his UN informant, Mulder's UN informant.
Oh, she just came on at the beginning of season 4. She's very new.
Are they going to kiss?
No, I don't think it's like that.
That's my main question with the X-Files.
When you watch it, you're transported to the young time when your body was changing, when everything is a will they or won't they.
But will they?
I don't think so.
Oh, but I just assume any like young woman is going to kiss Mulder.
She's very attractive, I think.
Yeah, she's very beautiful.
Yeah, I met that actress.
Oh,
yeah.
What happened? Did you Did you kiss
her? No, we did not kiss.
When did you meet her?
I met her because she was on The Walking Dead.
Oh, are you on The Walking
Dead? I was not on The Walking Dead. I was on The Talking Dead, which is maybe, I would say, 100 steps below The Walking Dead, which is a horrible thing to say, and Dustin, I will have you take that out. But it was... well, now that this is not going to be on the air, well, it's fine. I mean, listen, it's a great show, but if you're going to be on The Walking Dead, that's like something amazing.
Uh-huh.
And The Talking Dead, I just mean a lot of comedians get to do it. So it was me, her, and...
she's a comedian?
No, she's not.
No, I know.
It was me, her, and what's the fucking guy's name who came up with Venom? He makes Todd McFarlane.
Okay.
Do you know Todd McFarlane?
No.
You know who he is? Spawn. Have you heard of Spawn?
No.
He created Spawn.
Okay.
So he created the thing you've never heard of. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I met her there.
Sounds great.
Yes, I met her there.
Was
anyway.
Was she nice?
She was nice.
Did you talk to her about the X-Files at all?
I did not bring up the X-Files.
But you knew exactly who she was.
Yes,
it's the UN informant. What's her character's name?
It's like Covarrubias, Marie Covarrubias. It's a weird name.
Wow.
It's not a normal name.
Yeah.
I mean, what is normal? I don't want to...
No.
I'm not trying to make judgments.
No.
There's one point where the guy looks at like, Aboa, what kind of name is that? You remember that? Like, okay, whatever you guys are going for. Clearly, you have the black cop say that, so it's slightly
it
less...
It seems like everyone in the episode is uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, everyone's kind of like, are we doing
because
this?
Because they never really... No one ever really commits, because it's like they don't even make him the killer... So is the Teleco the name of the tribe, or it's the name of the...
I think Teleco is the name of the mythical creature that is based on these real people.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So this guy, Aboa.
Yeah.
But it's like he doesn't even seem like threatening. He just seems like a guy who's got like a condition.
Yes.
And we don't really see enough of him to be like, this guy's a real... scumbag killing all these other guys, you know?
Yeah, like with the other guy, with Squeeze, with Eugene Toombs.
Yeah, he
does
was
a
scared.
Court case,
yeah.
And he's around a lot. You talk to him.
He had like watery eyes.
Yes,
he was a real spooky guy.
Yeah, and there was more of a sense of what that guy is like. Like they're both similar in that they're both sort of in between the state where they're kind of human, but they also have these like.
But they've got apartments.
They've got, yes, they're monsters of the apartments.
Yeah.
That's right. They can sign
That's what
a lease.
They should have called the X-Files.
Monsters of the apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It's that weird zone where, like, you're not human, but you can sign a lease.
Yeah. And you've got a TV and you're watching TV.
Yeah. And you can pass, like, a credit check.
But you can also cram yourself into a drawer.
Yeah.
If you're hiding.
Yeah. This guy, I think he can cram himself into smaller spaces than the other guy can. I think that's the only thing he has over that other.
Right.
Eugene Toombs.
So Eugene is just like squeezing into things and shooting through them.
Yeah.
To get your liver. Was he the one who was taking people's livers?
He liked people's livers.
Yeah. And then this guy is cramming himself into drawers. It's not different enough.
It's not different enough, but yeah.
And also I felt like what I remember from Squeeze, and I know I'm not meant to be talking about that episode, but like Scully felt like she was in much more danger than when... you know, when he like attacks Scully and like her shirt's up and you're like, oh my God, Scully has a stomach. She's normally.
It was a very confusing time.
You never see any of her body whatsoever.
Do you want to see more of her body? That's one of your complaints
about
this.
Well, she's just always so covered up.
That's one of your complaints for this episode.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole list.
Yeah.
But on that list, she's too covered up.
She was too covered up. And also, but like, so then when he gets Mulder at the end.
Yes.
And he blow darts the magical seed into his neck.
Yes.
It's like, doesn't even seem like that big a problem.
No.
It seems like it's going to be fine.
It is fine. I thought that scene where she's crawling around the vents and stuff. I thought that looked kind of cool.
That looked kind of cool. I've done that. I've crawled in air vents. But I did it at the, Washington, D.C. There's a spy museum.
Oh, it's part of the thing.
As part of the thing, you get to crawl through air vents pretending to be a spy. It's really exciting.
It was fun.
It's great. I think going to that museum really set me up for loving the show The Americans.
Okay, I haven't seen that. Is there a lot of Airman.
There's
crawling?
No event stuff, but it's all, but that museum is all about like Cold War spies.
Okay, all right.
So that really got me jazzed for that.
Aliens has a lot of air events.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We should watch that movie sometime. This is a reference to something you guys don't understand.
It's very funny.
There's also another horrible exchange where the guy's there and he's gray. He's full gray.
A boa.
He's no the one of the dead guys is on the table.
Oh yes.
And he's like gunmetal gray. He's like I don't want to use the word ash, but he literally is like the tip of a cigarette.
Yeah.
Gray. Death gray. And Mulder says there's a Michael Jackson joke in here somewhere,
oh, yeah,
but I can't quite find
really
it.
Bad.
It's also bad now that Michael Jackson's gone, but even then it was like
It was just like, but that whole thing was like a classic example of how Mulder can be very irresponsible FBI agent.
Yeah.
And kind of a bit of a jerk because he just barges into her autopsy.
Yeah, he does that
like
all
you
the time.
You shouldn't really do that, I don't think. I think you should wash your hands at the very least.
And if this person has a disease, which they think.
Exactly.
By the way, she says that it's probably a disease and he goes, no.
What does Mulder know? He's got no medical experience whatsoever.
She should be right. She's not right because we're in a crazy world where people can cram themselves into drawers.
She must be so frustrated the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's never right. But she's the smartest person.
She's the smart one. But like in this world, she'd be normal and Mulder would be the crazy one. But in that world, it sucks that she's always wrong.
He's always like, it might be this thing. And then he's right. His hunches are so good.
I think it's a pigment vampire. Oh, God. And
based
he's
on
right.
this folktale.
Yeah.
Oh, so annoying. Yeah. But also when he like bursts into the autopsy room, he's like, I heard you were slicing and dicing down here.
Oh, geez.
And it's like, you can't just run down to the autopsy room like that, Mulder.
With
get
like
a grip.
A quip
what
ready.
What are you even up to in your office? Because he doesn't seem like he's officially assigned to this job. She gets called in by Skinner and he's like, please help us.
Yeah. So I don't know why Mulder's even there.
Yeah. He's just hanging out and like coming up with crazy theories that are exactly spot on.
Yeah. He just, that's his whole thing.
Yeah.
Inserting himself into stuff, coming up with crazy theories that are exactly spot on. The thing I remember, certain X-Files have this. They've done this before where there's like someone from another world. There's like the xenophobia thing that's happened before. It's just toughest when it's Africa because it's like, you know, people are coming from the dark continent bringing their magical demons with them.
Yeah.
We don't understand anything. We do know it's bad though.
Real bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
They're killing black people here. Also, they're like, it's a pattern of 4 young black men missing over 3 months. That's not really much of a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
4 guys missing over 3 months. There's nobody's investigating a connection.
Isn't that just the world?
That's just the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is like Philadelphia, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
People disappear.
How far is Philadelphia from, because they're in Washington,
in DC?
Right? Yeah.
I don't think it's too far. It's probably like a few hour drive or something.
Right.
Yeah. It's all those sort of northeast-ish, but not super north.
I love thinking about those things, like her driving to Philadelphia.
Yeah, her driving, having to get a car.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Just imagining what she and Mulder might be talking about in the car. That's the best stuff.
I honestly, one time on this podcast, said there should be like a Planes, Trains, Automobiles version of an episode where they're just trying to get to the case. And they're just like, the car breaks down, they have to get on a boat, they have to get on a train, and it's just them trying to get somewhere, and it's just them hanging out.
But if it was like, if they did do that, then like something crazy would happen at a gas station, and Mulder would make a guess about what it was, and it would turn out
and
he was right. It's like a really magical spider that's killing everyone or something.
And this exactly happens in the next world. Next world, because part of the thing is like, the X-Files has... also, if he's a normal guy, he what does he pull out of his mouth?
Oh, isn't that the like blow dart thing?
But he hides it in his throat.
In his throat. So like that, I saw like that had like a weird kind of allusion to, you know, like people who put swords down their throat, and like that. It was like it was all very iffy.
But how would he like with the sword? The handle's out with that. You'd have to have a string like a tampon. Otherwise, how would you get it out? You think he has like
I think I saw a tampon string on him. I'm pretty sure that
was... Most of the episode, he has a string hanging out of his mouth.
I don't know. I mean, if he's like, he has the power to cram into drawers, maybe he can like stretch out his fingers.
He has the power to cram.
Something.
Yeah. That's good.
I wonder what happened to him, though, because he's sick in hospital at the end, right? Oh, she gives her sad epilogue.
Yeah, she gives her sad epilogue where she's trying to be like, hey, but the scariest thing is the things we don't understand, where she's trying to like, you guys haven't quite earned this yet.
Yeah.
You guys were sort of part of the problem in this because you wrote it.
You decided to probably, what would be the budget of an X-Files episode?
Couple million at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I looked up when it was because I wanted to make sure. I 95, was like
right?
wondering when it was broadcast in terms of when I stopped watching the show. Yeah. And it was like a few months after I'd stopped watching. But they were saying they wanted real African actors. So they, one of the actors is an Olympic athlete who'd just gotten back from the Olympics.
Which guy?
I'm not sure which one.
Is it?
Possibly Eboah.
Probably Eboah, yeah. Right? Samuel Eboah.
And then it's like, great news, you're going to be on the X-Files. We're going to paint you white and you're going to cram you into a drawer.
I think his eyes look cool, though. Well, there's that weird moment where like they're chasing him for the first time and then they're like, oh, he must have gone that way. And then Mulder looks at him like, and he's hiding in something.
Yeah,
and he's just
like a hole in a wall.
Yeah,
it's very weird.
He's just hiding in a hole in the wall, upside down, looking at Mulder like with no expression
it's
face.
Kind of cute, though. It's like a little gremlin or something.
Yeah. But Mulder takes it and he's like, hey, come down here. This is kind of weird.
Wouldn't you be like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
You're a killer.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Freeze.
But, like, he's like, hey, Scully, come look.
Hey, look at this.
It's a cramming Africa demon. Yeah. And like, he can talk. Like, he talks to his social worker.
He's a person.
He's a person. He's got an apartment. So wouldn't you be like... sorry, don't shoot me.
Don't, yeah.
Maybe.
He just looks like he's sort
They're
of gone.
They're just staring at each other.
Yeah, it's such a weird moment. It looks so fucking weird.
Yeah.
He's just like, you got me. So weird. There's the part where Mulder goes to talk to that guy who basically... The one thing I thought was interesting, they say that immigrants don't trust authorities here because they don't trust authority back where they're from. And in Pakistan, like, we never trusted the police. And almost every Indian movie, the cops are the bad guys.
Right.
So clearly they were so troubled by this premise that they were trying to nuance it, but it wasn't happening.
No, I don't think they should have made this one.
That's a great critique of this episode.
Is that too mean? I just think they could have done. It's not a good one.
And it's also, I hate using the word problematic, but it's
truly problematic.
It is truly.
And then it's not like it's very problematic, but man, is it exciting.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's boring and
you
problematic.
You know who it is? There's no mystery. Like in the next one. There's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's this because of this and this. But it's just kind of like, I think it's this guy. It's this guy.
It's this guy. Because the thing is, a lot of the X-Files is about sort of these weird corners of America where there's weirdness and people have just been hiding and doing stuff.
In drawers.
In drawers. That's okay. But then when you're doing something where it also like plays up stereotypes and fears that already exist.
Yeah.
It just is a...
It's unhelpful.
It's unhelpful. This episode was unhelpful and shouldn't have been made.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. And then there's the part where Mulder goes to talk to that guy who basically tells him about the teleco. And he says, even if I tell you what I know, you would never believe it. And you can hear Mulder getting a boner.
Yeah,
that's his favorite thing to hear.
You don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah,
I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'll believe anything you tell me. The next 5 sentences are changing my life. Forever.
But also, I thought, because at the beginning, I thought he was like a magical creature rather than
like a diseased person?
Yeah. I thought it was so funny when he killed the man on the plane because he was changing the toilet sign from vacant to occupied while he was murdering him. And I was like, that is such a clever demon.
Oh, that's part of his. Oh, you thought it was just like a basic like monster.
Yeah, I thought it was a monster.
It's like when the raptors in Jurassic Park open doors.
Yeah.
Have
you seen the new trailer for Jurassic Park? They've changed the raptor's eyes, and the raptor's eyes are too beautiful now.
Well, you know, the raptors are the good guys.
They're the good guys now, and I think that's why they've changed their eyes.
They have, like, human eyes?
But they've got, like, magical unicorn eyes. Like, they're, like, much bigger than they used to be, and very sparkly instead of rainbow-colored.
Really?
And it's like, they should still seem a little bit threatening, right?
Yeah, rainbow-colored dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's a rainbow-eyed dinosaurs.
This is the... Look, I'm sure I'll probably really enjoy it, but this is the other problem with the new dinosaur they've made, because they've made a new dinosaur.
Yes.
It's, like, invented, and it's got, like, extra frills on it. It looks exactly like the dragons on Game of Thrones.
Right.
Not scary.
Extra frills on it.
Yeah. You can't do that. The whole point of Jurassic Park is, like, it's the real dinosaur.
Yeah, now
that's why this is so scary.
Now it's just a mythical beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big difference.
But I do think that the one poster with the where they see the kid behind the glass and there's that monster is like eating a little alligator or something.
Yeah.
I think that looks cool.
Oh, yeah. I think it all looks really cool and I can't wait to see it. But I've got those are my two problems.
It's not like this episode. They should have made it.
They.
Yeah. Because then, and then there's a moment where Scully's looking at the lab work and says no pituitary gland.
Yeah.
And that's her getting a boner. She gets excited about
and
that.
She's like, oh, it looks like there is a scientific explanation.
Yeah. But then Mulder comes in and he's like, okay, fuck your science. I talked to a man from the dark continent.
And I've got a fairy tale to tell you.
I've got a fairy tale to tell you. If my batting record is any indication, I'm going to be right.
Turns out my one tip is... precisely right.
Exactly.
Right.
The one guy that they've been hiding. And that guy had been hiding that these things had been happening, right?
The social worker?
Well, the social worker didn't know, but the guy that Mulder talked to in the embassy.
Oh, yeah, the embassy guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the social worker guy was just a good guy who then for his trouble is almost murdered.
Totally.
Because he's right. He's like, I'll get your whole family here. Yeah.
And he's a great guy. He's my favorite character.
And that guy's a great actor. I've seen him in a lot of stuff. Very likable, very noble.
Very good.
I shouldn't have said noble. You can't say... That's horrible. Please take that out. I can't say noble. This is what this episode did. He's so articulate.
This episode was made. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
So well mannered.
There's also a part where the cop finds that guy who's had the thing stuck in his thing, and the cop goes, I won't even try to guess what happened to him. You should try.
Yeah, that's exactly your job.
Your cop, this is exactly your job.
Yeah.
Your job is to come up with a theory and then chase it down.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, not it.
Forget this.
Yeah, it's gross. Anyway, I'm done. She says, Mulder at one point says, we fear the unknown. It all comes from somewhere. Conspiracy, whatever. Like, that's kind of how people justify racism. When people are like, I mean, it comes from somewhere.
It's fear. It's my real fear. So can I just keep being afraid forever and being like a terrible person?
Yeah. I mean, it's real because I'm actually scared.
Yeah.
So then it must be real.
This is just how I feel.
I'm just a piece of shit who feels like this. Basically Mulder says that we were talking about the country. Same reason anyone comes to this country. Then he's like, because it's the fucking best. It just rocks so hard.
Yeah.
That's why people come here. That's what he's saying. the blow dart.
Even though the whole time they're filming in Vancouver.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
These are the details that are coming back to me from my time liking it.
I did like that Mulder was drooling when he was frozen in that thing. He had a lot of drool coming out of
him. He did have a lot of drool, but it was just like, I felt like that was quite a low stakes climax when he was just like slightly paralyzed and just being like trying to make her look over her shoulder by like moving his eyeballs.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing it very well.
He was like,
he only did it like twice.
Yeah.
And then she looked and then she shot him and then...
And then end of
fine.
The thing. Well, he's going to die because he's not going to get the pigment that he needs to survive.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to die. And she says science will eventually discover
but
his...
science should be able to solve that illness. But she's tried... They tried something, remember? She was like, we're doing something. It's not working.
Yeah. She says,
I remember it perfectly.
So in a way, Scully and Mulder are right because Mulder says it's this mythical beast, but Scully, it is a science thing, she says.
So really, it's an episode that should end up with them both congratulating each other.
Yeah, you were right. You were right, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has to do so much more paperwork than him.
Yeah,
She's always doing these reports at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
He's out partying with his UN informant.
It's interesting that you think he wants to get it on
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
What's well, interesting because
a woman in a giant coat
with just hard, stiff hair.
Yeah,
just one piece of hair.
That's what he likes.
Mulder. That's funny because both these episodes do have Scully doing the ending, like narration.
Yes.
A lot of times Mulder's doing it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here, it's she's really sort of doing it. At the end, she says, science will eventually discover his place in the broader context of evolution, which I think is sort of interesting because it is a science thing. It mm-hmm. turns out, blah, blah, blah. The fear of the unknown among us, that's when they're like trying to have their cake and eat it too. Anything else you want to say about this episode before we move on? I feel like...
Does anybody like this episode?
I don't think this is an episode that's considered a great one.
Right.
Yeah. Because this... at the beginning of this season, they had another show called Millennium that they were writing.
I didn't like that, though, because I didn't find any of them...
Attractive.
They
didn't,
Yeah.
You had a very specific reason, I feel like, for watching The X-Files.
No, like, I had
your specific weigh-in.
Like a horny weigh-in. Maybe you're right, but I do love a will-they-won't-they situation.
Yeah. So I don't think people love that one. The next one...
How long was Millennium on for?
I think it was on for 3 or 4 seasons.
Right.
I believe 4 seasons.
Yeah.
But a lot of the writers were going back and forth. So it was like the beginning of the season is a little tough. But right. There's a lot of great episodes. The first one's good. The second one is Home, which is the inbred mutant cannibal family.
Yeah,
which is one of the best ones.
Yeah.
And then there's some really, really good ones coming up, like Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man, The Field Where I Died. Like, there's a lot of good ones coming up this season.
This one felt like quite like a procedural one.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, but then also with the, like, uncomfortable element of like...
It's just great. A lot of great things coming in together.
Yeah.
The next one, Unruhe, is the one where the guy takes a picture of a woman mm-hmm. and when he sees she disappears when he sees the picture, he's being... it looks like she's being chased by swirl demons.
Howlers. In the episode, they're called howlers. But they are scary looking. They're sort of scrunchy faced. They look like the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes, they do. They look like that. They look like the Silence on Doctor Who.
The guys from Buffy.
Yes, they look like the guys from Buffy. They look like Baraka from Mortal Kombat.
Uh-huh.
So it's like sort of a type of demon face you've seen.
Demons in suits.
That's
also that the creepy pasta guy. The skinny,
Slenderman.
Yeah. Skinny guy.
Well, Slenderman too, because they're also, the picture has him on stilts, which is a weird part, remember? And then she sees him on stilts, which is a weird...
Yeah, those are very spooky stilts.
Yeah, those are spooky stilts.
Yeah.
So this episode is that one. The howlers, I do like that they're not real. It's just because he's fucking crazy. So,
yes.
And she goes, hey, they're only in your head.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this episode?
I enjoyed it more.
Yes.
Because also I wasn't like, oh, this one isn't problematic.
Yes.
As you would say.
There's not like a racial
issue. And I'm not like, oh,
issue.
I have to go on a podcast and talk about this tomorrow. But so I enjoyed this one more, but it did feel a little bit like another throwaway one.
Well, this one is interesting. This was the first one that aired on a Sunday night. So, mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it was the second one. It was supposed to be second, and Home was supposed to be the one that would have been the first one.
Right.
That one, they were like, now they're looking for a bigger audience. Thursday, they got a bigger audience than Friday. So they were like, well, this one let's do because it's inoffensive.
Yes.
It's not problematic.
Yeah.
It's not hyper-violent.
Yes.
So they chose this one because it sort of is like a monster of the week.
Yes.
Like you said, throwaway, but it's more like it's just one of those. Like, there's just a lot of these kinds of ones.
Yeah.
But for what it is, I think I liked watching this one
mm-hmm.
because the guy is crazy and the X-Files in it is not, it's not like he has powers or anything.
Yeah, he's not magical.
Yeah, but he just has this weird thing. His psychosis or something is so strong that it can imprint
thoughtographs.
Thoughtographs.
That's what Mulder calls it.
He can do thoughtographs.
Yeah.
And Scully at one point, he explains the whole thing to her and
he explains it instantly as
yeah.
well. He finds this photo and he's like, it's thoughtographs. He has a very sensitive, I mean, I know that's Mulder's thing, but he really figures it out.
He nails
instantly.
It over and over.
Yeah.
And she says, thoughtographs? Like, and it is... I mean, it is a great word.
It's a great
word. There's no better word for what that thing is.
Yes.
Thoughtographs is clearly the best mm-hmm. word for that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I liked it. It was, you're right. It's just like a typical X-Files episode.
It's a typical one, but there was some fun stuff. I thought that the opening cold open before the credits was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Because you have the two people in the car. They get nervous when the cop goes by. So you're like, okay, they're up to something shady.
Yeah.
She gets the picture. And then the guy comes in the yellow raincoat. He looks creepy. That's cool. And then when she leaves and you see him through the umbrella, you see him coming
up. Yeah, the shadow. That's the silhouette through the umbrella. That's a real spooky thing.
I thought that was really cool.
That was very inventive because it's the day. It's the daytime. It's like a sun shower thing. And it was like, oh, that's real spooky. Good work, guys. You've chilled me.
Yeah. it's a good way to do scary during the day.
Yeah.
So I thought that opening was really, really cool.
Yes.
The other thing is the guy, Vince Taylor Pruitt is the guy's name, who can do the shaky eyes.
He really, and he shakes them all the way home.
Well, he does. He shakes them to the moon and back. He is the shaky actor guy, a shaky eye actor, and he plays the shaky eye guy in a lot of stuff.
A lot of things. Identity, that movie. Have you seen that movie?
Identity?
It was this movie.
Oh, yes, like with John Cusack.
It's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
But it's always on the front, or it used to be in the UK, it was always like on the front page of Netflix.
Okay.
And it would be like, want to watch a new movie? And you'd be like, what's this? And it would say like, it's a thriller.
Yeah.
It's got all these people in it. It's from this year. And you're like, I don't think I've ever seen, this sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you watch it and it's pretty terrible.
There's a specific point in that movie when it goes from being pretty good to very, very terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say a spoiler because...
Spoiler.
If you haven't seen Identity, don't watch it because it's going to break your heart.
It's a waste of time.
There's a part where a murder happens and they're like trying to solve it and then they go back and now that it's the murdered body has disappeared. And I was like, oh no, what the fuck is this? And turns out all of them, every single actor... is the figment in Shaky Eye Guy's head.
Shaky Eyes' head. It's all in his mind. And he's got split personalities, which feels like a really 80s thing to have.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
For a killer?
Yeah.
It's very 80s.
Just to be like, he's got two different personalities he can do. Yeah.
Is that even a real thing anymore? I used to feel like everyone used to have that back in the 80s.
It was a thing. Now it's called dissociative personality disorder.
Right.
It's not called split personality. I don't know if it's really the thing of like, is Spencer there?
Yeah.
I'd like to speak to Spencer now. Well, Spencer's not home right now. Only Dr. Giggles or whatever.
Yeah. But it felt like popular culture felt much more comfortable with like, exploiting that mental illness.
Yes, they were very confident about it too.
Yes.
They were like, oh, this is how it is. Some people have two or three people inside
them. And this is happening all the time.
It's happening all the time. And it's creepy. And they're monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They're not just people who are sick and need help.
And often people have a little girl as well.
There's a little girl in there.
There is an identity as well, isn't there?
There's a little girl.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Is there?
I think so. There's definitely a kid. But the shaky eyes are good though.
He's good. And I wonder if he can actually control it. I'm going to look this up right now.
Oh yeah, because maybe we're making fun of a true
I think, condition. I mean, because
I felt like sometimes he wasn't shaking them.
I feel like sometimes he wasn't shaking. You'd think he was a guy who at one point was just like, oh, it's hard to be an actor. I'm going to perfect shaky eyes. Probably
I think he was probably auditioning for something and there was a mouse in the room.
Probably in the
80s. And he had his eyes on the mouse.
Okay.
And the casting people didn't see the mouse, but they were like, this guy is spooky.
There's something about his eyes. How can they not mention... Listen, if I'm on his Wikipedia and they're just not mentioning his shaky eyes.
Why don't you Google quivering eyeballs? Because that's what I think that's it.
Here, I'm going to do this. Vince Taylor Pruitt, space, eyes. Yep. Let's see what his issue is. His iris is tremble violently.
Maybe he doesn't have a pituitary gland.
Oh, and he can fit into...
And that's what makes your eyeballs vibrate.
Oh, he's got nystagmus is the name of the thing.
Oh.
Nystagmus, that's a real... That's a real thing some people have. Anyway, while it's loading, I thought that, again, this was another one where Scully is like, here it is. Okay. Yeah, it's some sort of eye thing.
It's a very sad thing.
I think he's okay.
Okay.
I think he can see and,
he's using it in his work to great effect.
Yeah, look, that's what it looks like. There's a gif of it. There's a gif of it.
But
it's involuntary.
All gifs look like that, though.
Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. All GIFs do look like people are moving back and forth like that. That's exactly right. This one, again, Scully is like, there's some sort of theory that's normal and
yes.
scientific and smart. And he's like, tardigrades. And he's right.
Yeah. He thinks of it so quickly. But I also, there was one of my favorite things in this episode, which is that the thing where he goes to the computer specialist.
Oh, yeah.
And he did the thing with the photographs where he's like, can you just bring that up? And he just clicks on it and makes it very high resolution.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's a person's face. They're like, this is clearly a person's face.
Just bring it up. Flip it and bring it up. Oh, that's a howler. And I think this might be the killer's dad.
I remember my favorite part of that is like when he notices that the howlers have six fingers. And he's like, one time he goes, why do they have six fingers? And it turns out to be the tombstones, which is a fuck of a stretch.
It's a real stretch. He figures it out so quickly as well. He yells out.
Why do they have six fingers?
And then he goes, tombstone! Yes. Like, that's how long the pause is. And he's like, da-da-da-da. And
That I also, maybe the way they'd shot it, I was like, oh, it's the tombstones. But it was because of the way they'd shot it.
Yeah, but you're like FBI level brainiac.
I am very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
I am very smart. I have solved some unsolved murders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've solved a Zodiac murder.
Oh, my God. Who was it?
It's two people.
Who is it?
One of them's dead. One of them's alive.
Oh, so you're the one who finished that Wikipedia article.
Oh, is it on there? No, I don't want to make it too public who I think the guy is, because he's still out there. And I don't want to bring him out of retirement.
Who?
For me.
Because
it was in California.
Who was it?
You just drive down. I'm not going to tell you. Because then, what if he listens to this podcast?
He probably does.
What if he... Yeah. So, I don't want to...
But he'd be pretty old right now, right?
Honestly, not that old. Listen, if you're... When were those? In the 70s,
uh-huh.
right? So if you're like 20 when you do that,
uh-huh.
so 40 years, you're like, you could be late 50s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's still murder, killing age.
Definitely. But it...
past your killing prime, but you're still in this window.
But isn't the thing with serial killers that like it's actually like a young man's game?
Oh, is it?
That's what Michelle said.
Who's Michelle?
Patton's wife. I don't know.
Okay.
What she'd say this on the
oh no, it's good.
Podcast. Yeah. Well,
she's a true crime writer. Yeah.
She knows everything about them, and she's like, it's a young man's game. So it's when they're like, you know, really fit and healthy, and also like full of madness.
It's also, I guess, it's right. Like when you think of when you're like 18, 19, the shit you think about.
Yeah.
Now you're like, oh my god, I can't believe I used to like He-Man or Ninja Turtles
or the X-Files.
Yeah. No, the X-Files. Okay. Yes. Some things don't change. But I think maybe that is what it is. It's because I'm like, oh my god, remember in the 20s when I was just fucking killing all those people and eating their hearts? Ugh, I was such an idiot.
Totally. It's like, I couldn't even be bothered to go out to a party on a Saturday night these days.
Yes.
And they just sort of fondly remember the lives they took.
Yeah. Or
and
like,
also, you would probably just feel pretty smug. So, like, I totally got away with it.
But maybe you also feel a little embarrassed. Like, when I look at, you know, some of the movies I own that I bought, like, 15 years ago, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking?
So, you're like, why did I kill Judy, of all people?
Yeah, exactly. Of all people, Judy? What a lame person to kill. I also like it so hard. So clearly in this episode, something X-Files is happening. It is tardigrades.
Yes.
That is what's happening.
Yeah.
And then Scully has to be like, no, maybe it's the heat is doing the...
Maybe
and it's
the
making
film's
it look
expired
like,
and it's the heat.
And
the
so the heat is making it look like she's screaming and making howlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it just puts her in a tough situation because she has to use science. And it's just, there's very little science to be had
in
this episode.
She lives in a world where there's very little science happening.
Yes, there's very little science happening. And that's all she's good at.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad.
Such a bummer for her.
There's a part where Mulder's like, what do you think? And she has a scientific theory. And he's like, yeah, that is what you would think. Like, yeah, because I'm a normal human person with a regular brain. Mulder is like sort of very smooth in this one, where he goes, magic was gone. Like, maybe she's like, oh, she killed the boyfriend. Why would she do that?
Oh, yeah.
The magic was gone.
Yeah, he's just in a kind of like a smart aleck mood.
Yeah, both these episodes, he's
I remember when I used to watch the show, those used to be the things where I was like, he totally loves her because he's being so like
smooth,
flirty and
smooth. He is flirty.
He's a very flirty FBI agent.
They definitely flirt. Yeah. I don't know if it's like flirting with the goal in mind, because sometimes you flirt and it's just you just flirting. Sometimes you flirt because you want to get into their pants.
Yes.
So there's two kinds of flirting. Anyway, welcome to my podcast, The Different Kinds of Flirting. Lobotomies, I always think they're very creepy.
Very and scary.
The way they used to do them is that they would take that implement, the skinny thing, and they would put it between the eyeball and the eye socket and just scramble. And that's why those girls had like bruises around their eyes.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy when they figured that when she was like, it's lobotomies. And I was like, oh no.
Why did it have to be lobotomies?
That is really such a bummer.
I remember when I was in Melbourne, I was doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival in Australia. I went to the museum.
Great.
It was a normal museum. And the museum had, I thought it was so interesting. They had a whole floor on depression, where they really talk about people who have depression, what that feels like, which I think is interesting because a lot of younger people or people who are feeling like that and knowing like, oh, this is a thing that can be dealt with.
Yes.
I think it's very mature and interesting and helpful.
Yeah.
Because I feel like here sometimes we shy away from depression and people sort of feel ashamed for having it or are made to feel bad for having it when it is a real chemical problem.
Pretty much everyone has a bit of time with the old black dog.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The black dog?
The black dog.
I like that.
Maybe that's just in Australia.
But they also had this section on how they used to treat mental illness, and they had the implement there with the lobotomy implement. And it's just no good. Because the idea is like these people are alive and just sort of going around because this guy...
And they didn't really know which parts of the brain they were cutting out, did they?
No, of course, because they're literally shoving the end, scrambling it.
Oh.
They would just scramble.
Oh boy.
Literally just scramble, pull it out,
like,
wipe.
See what this does. Are you better or are you worse? Did you hear about the head transplant?
Yes, I heard something about
the
it.
Doctor,
are so they doing
they're
it?
They're planning to do it in, I think, like 2017. Like, there's they so much the, planning to do.
They say the guy who's doing it, the doctor, is like a crazy mad scientist.
Yeah,
doctor.
Like the human centipede doctor.
Yeah,
I think it's the same doctor.
It's the doctor from the human centipede.
It is. I'm
Did you see the trailer, the poster for the next one?
I just saw like that image.
It's 500 people.
500 people. Yeah, it was very alarming.
This would have to be the last one, because from this...
What can you do?
You just have to go back to your roots and have it be like a two-person human centipede. And I don't know if you can do that anymore.
But also, it's like, I haven't seen any of the movies. I think I saw the trailer for the first one,
yes.
And it really haunted me for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just kept seeing a human centipede in the corner of the room. I was like, it really got into
my
brain.
But human centipedes aren't the bad guys.
No, I know, but it's just a horrifying image. But the thing is, if you do 500, I mean, that's a big surgical table. When is the surgery happening? Because... He like knocks them out, but you can't knock out 500 people at once. So there's going to be like conscious people who are like actively getting people sewn onto them.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't. I assume he knocks them out when he's sewing 100%. Them together.
He has to, because they were in the, I haven't seen any of them, but in the first one in the preview, they wake up. It's just sort of, you're right. It's a logistical nightmare to do a 500.
Yeah. You're going to need a really long bed for everyone. To wake up in.
It's also quite unwieldy just for like getting around.
Yeah, you need a very long trolley.
Yeah.
It's
a very long bed. I mean,
he's going to need a big staff to help him get this together.
It's just impractical. You have to get a lot of people on board. Like if it's a three-person human centipede, you can have one other crazy person.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes serial killers will have one other crazy person.
Yeah, often
if it's 500, you have to convince like 100 or so other people that this is a good idea.
Totally. And the whole time you'd be like, I hope he doesn't put me in that human centipede.
Yeah. It's also like if you're doing a three-person human centipede, that's done. If it's 500-person human centipede, you have a lot of time to be like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Yeah, that's
Is this what I want?
It's a long surgery.
It's a long
that's
surgery.
That's going to take, what, week?
I mean, I don't... quite. And at some point, you start cutting corners. You're not doing
exactly
the level of care that you brought to the first three or four people is
which
not
is
happening.
Probably just spectacular surgical. Yeah.
And there's gonna be like highs and lows, like around like 120, 130. You're probably like, this will never end. And then you catch like your second wind, probably around 200.
And you're like, I got through so many today.
Yeah.
This centipede is really coming together.
You think it's like when you're writing, you're like, I have to write at least 1,000 words today. You're like, I have to get through 15 segments of my human centipede.
Do any of the centipedes like really enjoy it? So like, do any of them actually like, you know what? I kind of like this.
I'm kind of on board.
I feel like just because it doesn't feel like there's that much that could happen.
Worse.
In the emotional journey of someone who's in a human centipede.
Yeah.
I just feel like if they're doing a third installment of the series, that like at one point someone in the centipede has got to be into it.
There should be. You're right. I think I would understand. Like, it's constricting, but it's also freeing. Because for us, it's like, oh, I have to go on an audition and work, and I have to.
We've got
to
write.
I have to live my life. Yeah. With this, it's like, oh, every day I'm just in a human centipede.
All I got to do is scurry around.
All I got to do is if I don't. And what happens if someone in the middle of it dies?
I think that happens all. Isn't that the thing that happens all the time with
the centipede?
It must,
right? The biggest issue with the human centipede is like people in the middle segments dying.
So isn't that the thing? Have you haven't seen any of them?
No.
But I think I read that sort of like, so like obviously like there's a problem with like, poisoning, you know, that like it's very hazardous to your health to be in a human centipede.
Especially you're like, if it's 500 people, when you're in the 300s, you're eating the shit of people that has been passed through. About 300 other people.
It's pretty rough.
I mean, it can't... How... It's pretty rough.
It's really bad. But I just... I mean, like, sure... But, like, so is the evil doctor who's making the centipede... Is part of the joy for him watching the centipede expire? Because surely that's going to be part of the horror is that there's going to be like dead people in the center of the centipede.
I think it's one of those things
and
where
so
like,
you're going to have a limp, like a limp belly of the centipede.
I don't know if it's part of the joy. I think it's part of the...
Because I feel like he wants like a thriving centipede.
I would think so. I think that's the real bummer. It's like when you're doing a huge centipede, like they want a big undertaking.
Yeah.
Soon as you're done, you're back to... It's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of pulling out the dead bellies and pulling limp... Yeah.
Re-sewing people.
I think he's probably bitten off more than he can chew in this one.
But he's the kind of guy that dreams big.
Yeah, of course. Yes. You're nothing if not confident if you're going for a 500-person centipede.
Because also, from the image I saw of the third one, he seems to have built some kind of facility, which is reminiscent of a...
I think they're all prisoners.
Yes, it's like
they're
a prison
already
camp.
Existing prisoners.
Oh, they're like, existing prisoners.
Yes, and I think he's like... Maybe it's like he's like, I have 500 prisoners and only one plate. How will I feed them all? And then... I think that's how it starts.
Oh,
I have one
so
spoon.
Really, it's a compassionate decision.
Maybe it's just an efficiency thing.
You would probably feel. Do you think it's worse to be at the front?
I would say of a 500-person centipede, the first spot is the only good spot.
It's the only good spot, right?
Not that it's great. You'd much rather still, not be in a human centipede.
Yeah.
Any kind, no position.
But you would kind of be like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm the special one.
You're also like sort of speaking for the whole centipede.
Yes. And it's hard because they can't talk, obviously. Maybe but you feel so connected to them.
Literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. You think you're writing down like, hey, it's 432's turn to pick what you're eating today. So
exactly.
Move this up.
Oh, because they can write, of course.
They can write.
They're such good writers.
They're such...
The people in the centipede.
I mean, this is... Yeah.
If it was real and then somehow some centipedes escaped, I bet they would write pretty phenomenal books, like accounts of their traumas.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think you're getting out of... I think if you're in a human centipede, you probably... I would not tell anyone.
Would you rather have a lobotomy or be in a human centipede?
I'd rather have a lobotomy. Way to bring it back to the X-Files.
Really wanted to
what
bring
a great.
It back.
But I think it would be like, I would try and hide it. And then a party of people would be like, wait, you were in Human Centipede, weren't you? Because you would have some scars and stuff.
Yeah, you'd have some pretty telltale scars.
You'd have Human Centipede-esque scars on your face. Your face looks like there was a butt attached to it at some point.
I bet there would be like some marriages, don't you think?
I would think so. Like a World of Warcraft marriage. Yeah. It's like, you know, when they say like if you go through a really horrifying experience with someone, you like really bond.
Yeah.
So you would be like centipede friends, like, you know, like work friends, but like centipede friends. But then it'd be awkward if you ran into them.
You'd have a party and you'd be like, how does he know? Oh,
he was in my centipede.
The scars.
Yeah.
She's from the centipede.
Would you think it'd be awkward if you ran into one at like a grocery store? Like, hey.
You might not even know some of them. Some of them. Because they were like so far back in the centipede.
Who knows 500 people?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And you'd be like, oh, you, where were you? Remember that day it was waiting?
Do you think there's probably a Facebook group later where people are posting once you're out?
Definitely.
Like, today was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today was great. I barely thought about the week that I was in Human Centipede, the worst week of my life.
So are they all men in this centipede?
I don't think so.
So it's a
so close-minded.
Well, just because you said it's a prison, so I thought it might be one gender.
Oh, that's a very good point. Maybe you're right. You're right. I think you're right. We should go back to the X-Files because
so
I have to finish in 10 minutes. And I honestly, this has been absolutely fantastic. I think us figuring out the logistics of a 500-person human centipede.
Yeah.
I think we really like sort of got to some stuff there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope we've given fodder to the screenwriters for a fourth.
Yeah. It should be people who were in a human centipede now trying to live their normal lives.
That would be really fascinating.
Yeah. A support group, how people treat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. Again, in this episode, there's a part where she's like, hey, I have a real theory. And he goes, you should check it out. Let me know what you find. She's doing real investigation, an actual lead. He's going to look at photographs.
Yeah. He's just right every time. Every time he's like, I'm going to bunk off work to go meet this loony who's going to tell me about this crazy thing. And then it's like,
this one, the loony is a lab tech guy, but he's like, hey, So Scully's doing actual work. Like, hey, we think that this same construction company was there. And there, so it might be a guy because that's because he's like, great. Why don't you look at that, turn that, make despiral that.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a howler. Great. It has six hands. Why does it have six fingers?
It's the graves. And then he runs and then he finds her in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He rescues her even though she's been doing the real work.
Yeah.
The guy's bad guy's name is Schnauz, which I think is a great one. That's a fun little thing. Him on stilts I thought was very, very scary.
That was a truly spooky moment when she was standing there with him and then
he gets the call
on the phone, right?
And she turns around in the most suspicious way possible.
Yeah, because he's like, oh yeah, he's like, he's very tall.
Yeah.
He's spookily tall.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh no. And then the eyes start shaking.
Shaky eyes. Yeah, I think he can control it, maybe.
Yeah. Because then he jumps across the...
it's a great jump.
He jumps across
that
the...
That can't be easy.
The space.
He jumps across the space. Yeah, because it's a construction.
It's a construction.
So they're, it's not all done.
I don't know what
it's where the stairs
space.
Would go.
Yeah.
But the stairs weren't there yet.
He leaps across. He's so confident in those stilts.
It's also he escapes the cops quite easily once he's caught. Because he's caught like 20 minutes before the end of the episode. And I was like, oh, how's he going to get out of this one? Or he's just going to grab the gun and shoot the guy in the head.
Yeah. And that was it was sort of scary, but also a bit funny, the photo of the police guy getting shot.
No, it's a bit funny. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. The howlers, that's good. Also, he's trying to protect the women because he thinks that they have howlers in their
head. Yeah, he thinks he's being quite helpful. Because they've got troubles, right? That's what Enroy means.
Enruhe means unrest, yeah.
Unrest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's like killing their...
Yeah, I'm scrambling that out of your brain.
Again, it is
true. You're welcome.
Yeah, it is true that after that, you don't really have to do very much. You're just kind of like, oh, my days are kind of set.
My grandfather worked in a mental hospital in the 50s in New Zealand, and part of his job was to hold people down for lobotomies.
Oh, no.
But it is where my grandparents met. She was also working at the hospital. She wasn't a lobotomized patient.
This is dark.
It's a good story.
Yeah. It is a great story. It'd be great if it wasn't someone you were related to.
Yeah.
But did you know him?
But yeah, I did.
And did he have the vibe of someone who had held down people for lobotomies?
Not so much that, but he did. It did turn out he was married to another woman. So he was...
this guy had a lot going on.
He was a bigamist.
Oh my God, and it was a secret?
Yeah, because...
Both families were secret to the other one?
Well, he had married a woman in Ireland and given birth to... They had fathered a child. Then he joined the Second World War fighting for the British, even though the Irish weren't in the Second World War. But he's like, this sounds... I'm going to go do this. So he went and fought in the war. And then after the war, like, you could just go wherever you wanted, essentially. They're like, do you want to go to New Zealand? Do you want to go to Australia? It's really cheap. And he's like, yes, I do.
And what kind of job do I want? Hold on, people, while they get their brains scrambled and have a second family. He really got it all done.
He did. But so then he went to New Zealand. He started working in this mental hospital. He met my grandmother, who was British, and she had been in the Air Force. And she also took this, like, you know, free, essentially free ticket to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then they got married, and then they had my dad. But then the police came, and he went to prison.
Oh.
For
bigamy?
Yeah, for bigamy. That's... And his hair turned white.
Oh.
But then he got out of prison.
Do you think he was dyeing his hair and he just couldn't get dyed?
That could be, right. But apparently, like, the shock of being found out. But that's the thing about the 50s, man. You can Don Draper your life.
Yeah, now people just will Google you.
You get Googled.
You get Googled.
Where is my husband? Oh, he's gone to New Zealand.
He's got a second family,
and
clearly.
And divorce was illegal in Ireland then. So, it wasn't an option to get divorced.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Very private, personal family story.
Is he gone?
He is gone now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that he stole the dentist chair and just the dentist chair, that's very creepy. He had an actual dentist chair to use for his, like, evil lair. That's good. That's a great addition to any evil lair.
There's a comedian in the UK who has bought a dentist chair and for himself, and he does his own dental work on himself.
What?
Yeah.
You can do that?
No. You should not do that.
I don't even cut my hair.
Yeah.
I barely clip my nails.
I clip my nails today.
Oh.
But...
I like how excited you got.
It was so recent. It felt very relevant, but not
I
at
hate
all
it so
interesting.
Much. Yeah.
Clipping your nails.
And then at the end, Scully has a thing where she's like, to truly pursue monsters, we must understand them. We must venture into their minds. Only in doing so do we risk letting them venture into ours. It kind of didn't really tie into anything, but I thought this was a fun episode to watch.
It was a fun episode to watch, but
like, good creepy stuff.
That sort of summation at the end, it felt a bit like a high school student was trying to do a rousing ending to an essay or something like that.
Yes.
But in doing so, we get to look into ourselves.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I think in conclusion, it definitely had that vibe. Well, I have to run. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Sorry for talking about the human centipede for so long.
I think that was great. Okay. And I think your grandfather story was great. I thought we really got at some stuff here. A lot of great X-Files-Z stuff. It doesn't have to be X-Files. It can be X-Files-Z. something you want to plug?
No.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Feral Audio.
Hey, I'm Ben.
Jeff Ayer.
I'm Ben.
I'm Jeff.
Ben,
just do it.
I'm sorry. Hey, this is Ben, Jeff, and Thayer, and we host a podcast called Convince Me, where we have guests on to try to convince us to get on board with their unique obsessions. Check out our podcast. It's called Convince Me.
I'm Jeff.